my rant, you'd all hear a crack.
And there'd be pieces strewn everywhere. Amen. It's good to see everybody tonight. Good to see our friends, amen, from Black Creek, amen. And what a blessing. And, well, I'll tell you, I'm glad we are where we are. You know, the Lord didn't make any mistakes when He had us be born when we were born.
Amen.
I'm going to take this thing off, or they're going to have to turn it down for me.
It's always warm up there.
Amen. You know, I grew up in a day when Westerns were big on television. And television was a big thing. And I remember when certain people even got them, the very first one. I remember when mine went out the window, amen. But, you know, it's just seeing all that stuff, I always thought, man, I was born a little too late, you know. Really, I should have been born in like 1865 or, you know, something like that. 1880, you know. I mean, six guns hanging off my side and, you know, riding a horse. And then the Lord kind of woke me up one day and said, hey, stupid, want to ride a horse all the way from here to California? You know, you drive that trailer, you pull that motor home, and all that stuff you've done. Now, try that on a horse, see how long it takes you to do it, amen? Yeah, amen. So I'm glad, amen. I'm glad I'm where I'm at in time. You know, we are coming down to the end of this thing. And some of us are getting closer to the end, amen, than we know. Amen. Some of us be gone before the rapture happens, maybe. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, since COVID, it took the starts out of my sails. I don't have the breath that I used to have. I'll say something to you young people, you better sing it while you can.
Amen.
And you better sing it from the tip of your toes to the top of your head.
Amen.
Put everything you've got into that song. Why? Because your God deserves it.
That's right.
And if He don't make you happy enough to sing like that, maybe you need a little closer relationship.
That's right.
Maybe you need to get to know Him a little better. I'm telling you, when He saved me, pulled me out of the miry clay, pulled me out of the pit, pulled me out of the fire, I was a brand plucked from the burning, amen? And I was already on fire and on my way to cook all the way. But thanks be to Jesus, man. He saved me when He did, amen? And I was so glad to be saved. I remember the first time going into church, I sat in the church, and I sat clear in the back row. And I looked and said, why'd you do that? Because I didn't know nobody, and I wasn't from there, amen? So I sat in the back. And I watched everybody. I watched folks, and you know, that church, they didn't get as excited as I do sometimes, but they got a little excited. And I heard some amens. I heard some people shout a little bit. I heard some people get a little excited. And it wasn't too long, and I was doing the same thing, amen. Why? Because something inside of me was lighting up, man, when I'd hear certain things talked about. And man, I'm telling you, here we are in this light. Man, you run into a lot of trouble, don't you?
Yeah.
Run into a lot of problems. But you know, it rains on the just and on the unjust, just the same. It's not something that's freak to us, amen. And you know, sometimes the old flesh wants to feel sorry for you. He says, well, you know, if you weren't serving Jesus, you could have this or you could do that. No, if I wasn't serving Jesus, I wouldn't have nothing.
That's right.
Amen. And as far as this world's concerned, I never had nothing until a few years ago, amen, when we bought our parents' place for a dollar, amen. I mean, then I got something. That's all I got in this world. But for a long time, everything I had in this world, you could put in the back of a truck and tow it with you. Amen? And I was happy with that. Why? Because my life is not about this place. Amen? And your life shouldn't be. Your life ought to be about the same place mine is. Amen? Why? I'm looking for the upper taker to take me to a land far away. Amen? To take me to my home. But until then, I've got this life to go through, right? Take your Bible, go to James. James chapter 4. This is some of my meditations this morning. I was telling this morning, I woke up and man, I'm telling you, it got pretty thick in my bedroom this morning. If it'll get half that thick in here tonight, we'll have a good time. Amen. But I got thinking about some things and this is what the Lord would have me do right here. Bible says in verse 13, James chapter 4, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. For whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for the privilege tonight. I don't take it lightly. Lord, thank you for the precious folks that are here. Help me to be a blessing to them. Help me, God, that what I say might strengthen and encourage their walk with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What is your life? That's what James asked right there. What is your life? Well, he says it's a vapor, but wait a minute. What happens in the vapor? I almost call it the dash, you know. You go up to a graveyard and you see a headstone there, and it says, this guy was born in 1938 and died, you know, it has a dash, and then it says died in 1978, you know. And there's a dash in the middle. That was his life. Just that little dash. But what is your life? Amen. I tell you, I see so many folks that claim to be saved and they're living for what they see right here. They're living for what they can touch, what they can see, what they can feel, what they can accrue in their account, what they can do, amen, to make themselves richer. I got thinking about it this morning, man. I ain't got much. I'll tell you what, but you let my stock, you let the rapture happen and watch my stock go up, amen. I'll tell you, I'll be a rich man. And by the way, I'm a rich man already. I'm just separated from my riches. Amen. Just this afternoon, I was sitting with a preacher, and I got a video texted to me from a preacher friend downstate, and he's texting a picture of a baptism. So what's so great about the baptism? The fellow that's getting baptized, I added it up, it's 47 years from the day his wife got saved. 47 years. That woman got saved. She lived for God. She did right. Amen. Before her husband, before her kids, before her church, before her God. And she just prayed for that man. And she walked exactly like the Bible told her to walk. Amen. Just chaste conversation. And she won her husband with her chaste conversation coupled with fear. It took her 45 years for the man to get saved. Who's willing to wait that long? You know, some folks criticize us because we believe, amen, you ought to let God work in somebody's heart before they get saved, you know. And let the Holy Ghost do the work and draw them, amen. I'm not saying, you know, just let people die and go to hell. Don't give them a chance. Give them all a chance. But man, if they don't get it on your chance, don't get all excited and feel bad and say, oh, I failed, I didn't win them to Christ. Ain't your job to win them to Christ.
That's right.
It's your job to give them the gospel. It's your job to tell them about God. It's your job to live right before them, signs after them, so they can see what God does in a sinner's life.
That's right.
Amen? And you know, it took this fellow 45 years to get it. And then 2 more years before he got baptized. Amen? And finally, he came to the preacher, and another fellow got baptized. He's a little slow, a little backwards. They're mountain folk. And he come up to the preacher, and he talks in short sentences. Fellow says, well, I made another small step today. Preacher said, just wait. And he said, well, I know he's going to tell me what step was. He said, I got rid of it. Now, he's been sitting in church, preacher, for about 5-6 years, sitting in church. Hearing preaching. I mean, you know, just paying attention. He's weighing all this stuff out in his life. And he's looking at God, he's looking at the gospel, and he's thinking, I don't match that. He said, I made another step. What was the step? He said, I got rid of it. Okay, anybody have any idea what he got rid of? Neither did the preacher. He waited a couple seconds, and the fellow said, all that beer in the refrigerator left. And then he started saying, I got rid of it, and he started saying all this stuff, and so the preacher's adding up, and he says, I think this guy might have got saved. So he said, what do I do now, preacher? And he said, well, he said, sounds to me like you got saved. He said, well, that's what I've been trying to tell you. You know. He said, so what do I do now? He said, and the Lord just spoke to the preacher's heart, said, tell him he needs to confess Christ before men. He said, you need to confess Christ before men. Tell everybody now you got saved.
That's right.
Okay, great. before men. Preacher, you don't understand. It's hard enough for me to talk to you. But in front of people? You want me talking in front of people? Yeah, that's what you need to do. Preacher, I can't do that. It's okay. It's up to you. It's your life. What is your life? It's your life. Okay. So it went on a little while. 3 or 4 weeks. Had evangelists in, had a meeting. Fellow preachers, God moves. Altars full of people getting saved or whatever, getting right, whatever they're doing. This fellow comes walking down, gets up and comes walking down the side aisle. First time he's ever come to an altar anyway. Stands over here on the side like this. Got the office over here. He's standing right there by the office wall, leaned up against it. Just wait. The preacher comes over. He knows what he's there for. He said, what'd you come for? I'm going to do it. Okay. What you going to do? Well, that thing you said. I got to confess Christ before men. I got to. Would you just give me 5 minutes? He said, yeah, I can give you 5 minutes. He said, I'm wondering what this guy's going to say, you know. He said, he got up and for 35 minutes, his 5-minute spiel went on. He said, this guy was so full of God, it was unreal. And said, when he got done, that was the service. God moved, and people's hearts were touched just by that boy getting in. Amen. What's your life? You know, you only get one shot at this thing. You don't get a redo. You can't hit the pause button. You can't hit the amen, the instant replay button. Sometimes I'd like to, but can't. Uh-huh. Amen. You get one shot. That's why I said, therefore, to know to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You only get one chance to do it right. Better get it right. Amen. Better do it right. He said there that, you know, here it is, they're bragging about the things they're going to do. You know what he's saying? You're rejoicing, you're boasting. What? Tomorrow I'm going to do this. The next day I'm going to do that. You know, people get upset with me sometimes, Brother John. Now, you and I are a little alike in some respects. And here's one, I think, probably. Me and schedules don't get along well. He's laughing, so I know. We're 2 peas in a pod on that one. Yeah. My wife, sometimes it drives her crazy. I've had other people say, man, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. Well, when are you going to go there? I said, when the Lord says go, that's when I go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what are you going to do to get there? Whatever the Lord gives me liberty to do. Huh? What are you talking about? What's it say there?
Yeah.
If the Lord will. Yeah. Listen, man, I could get there and drop over dead. What good would that be? You know, it don't matter. Hey, listen, if that's where God wanted me to drop dead, that would be the place it happened. Amen? But listen, getting there is just part of the battle. What are you going to do when you get there? What is your life? How are you going to live for Christ, okay? What are you going to do in that life when you get to the place God wants you to be? Some folks, man, they labor, they just work hard, and they save, and they do all kinds of things just to go buy a new car. And boy, they get that new car, and instantly, the thrill's gone. You sit down in the seat, turn on the radio or whatever, turn on the wipers, turn on the AC, start it up, and you halfway around the block, the thrill is gone. Why? Things in this world don't last.
That's right.
Amen? And you see people get all wrapped up in that stuff. I've bought a couple new cars in my life every time. I might as well have bought the car, walked out before I got in it, took a screwdriver, went down the side of it. Why? Because that fast somebody else did. Ain't nothing make you mad quicker than somebody scratching your brand new car. Amen. So you might as well do it. Then go ahead, I beat you to it. Amen. Right? That's what this life is, man. It's a bunch of scratches. And you only get one chance to get it right. Only get one chance. That's why it says, if you know to do good, do it. If you don't do it, it's sin. You get one shot to be the blessing God wants you to be. You get one shot, ladies, to love that bum you married. I mean, that guy you married. Amen? So why'd you say bum? I knew who my wife married. Amen. You get one shot. Husband, you get one shot to love that dear woman sitting next to you. Amen. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. See? You only get one shot to make this thing real. And better do it right. Why? Because somebody is watching. And somebody is taking note. Amen. And the one that's taking note don't need to take note. He knows anyway. Amen. So, as I was thinking about that this morning, take your Bible, go to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 15. I was thinking about the blessings of God in my life. I was thinking, man, just this last week, I mean, so much has been given me in the last week from previous endeavors in my life to see fruit that remains. And I'll tell you this, there, John said it over there in 3 John verse 4, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that's a true thing right there. There's no greater joy for a preacher, no greater joy for a Christian than to be able to look back their tracks and see where God did something with them that's still bearing fruit.
Amen.
Amen. And so, you know, I thought about it, and up comes this text, right? I get a text from a kid in Arizona. I say kid, he's probably 40, I don't know, late 30s anyway. And see, I got to add up all the years. It was 4 years ago, I think, 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I preached there at the church where he's going now. And this kid, it was right around when COVID first hit, and it's actually been in a while, I guess. It was like 2 years into it. I forget which year, but you know how it is, you get confused. But this kid has been locked in his house. Say, man, full grown man. Locked in his house for 2 years because of all the hype. He was scared spitless, man, to even go outside. Because the government told him, you gotta stay inside. So he locks the door. He stayed, Brother Greg, in his bedroom. For much of the time, wouldn't come out. Scared to death. And all of a sudden, the first day out of the house, he goes to church for the first time in his life. And the first thing he hears is some crazy redhead spitting all over the place and getting red in the face and going nuts. Well, I'm more of a whitehead now, dear. But there he was, sitting in church. And Stephen, he was just stuck with me just like that. Everywhere I went, he went. If I went that way, he went that way. He followed me like a hawk with his eyes. Watched, heard, listened, paid attention. And man, I'm telling you, I got done preaching and he starts looking. He's like, I'm what he's looking for. Maybe I thought he was looking for the way out of that, honestly. And all of a sudden I see him grab somebody. Whispers in their ear. And man, they go off. Alone, next thing I know, he just disappears. Wow, they came and got him. I don't know. You never know some of these places, right? So we go out to eat, and we're sitting there at they got the tables outside the fellowship area there, and Preach and I are sitting out there, a bunch of people. We're sitting on the end of this table, and this fellow comes walking around the building. And as he comes walking around the building, it's almost like, you know, a train coming. You know what you see first on the train at night? The light. And that, it's just like the light was emanating from this guy. He walks around the corner, and I look at the preacher. The preacher looked at me, and I said, I think that old boy got saved. Man, he looks like something just happened to him. He comes up to us, Peter, and he starts bubbling over. And he's just going on and on. And said, man, I couldn't believe it. If I'd have known something like that existed, I'd have got it a long time ago. And he's going on and on and on, and all of a sudden he just stopped. He said, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't me. I don't talk to people like this. Then he told us he'd been locked up for 2 years and wouldn't come out of the house. He said, I don't do people. I don't get around people. He said, I don't talk to people, bro. And now I can't shut up. And he just kept bubbling over. So he sends me a text. Now listen, 2 years had gone by and I was there in that town. I was there three different times. I was in that church. The day he got saved. A little while later, a little while after that, three times in 2 years. You know how many times that guy came to church in those 2 years? Three times. He came every time I was there. First time I went back, I asked about him. I haven't seen him. Don't know where he's at. I said, you got his phone numbers? Yeah. So I called him. Hey, man, how you doing? Because I know the dude got saved. I don't doubt my mind. He's okay. Well, you got, I said, I'm over here. Oh, man, I'll be there in the morning. He was there all three services. Sat there and watched and listened and paid attention to him. And then he disappeared again. So I go back the last time I went back. And he calls me. He said, I heard you're in town. I said, yeah. He said, I'll be there. And he comes to me. That's pretty weird, man. I mean, you know what the average Baptist would have done? They went and threw a rope around that guy, lassoed him, and drug him to church. So here, now get set in the pew. Here's what you got to do. Wait a minute. What happened to y'all? What's your life? Who are you going to let run? Here's this guy on his own. What's he doing? Reading his Bible. I can show you the pictures. The first time I saw him, his hair is down to here. The second picture I got, his hair is all... And he's got a little bit of hair there, but he's got a little, what do you call that thing on? A band over his head, because it's cold outside. But that's it. And he's got a haircut. And so there he is. And little by little, you see this guy. So I get this text. That's where I'm getting to. You thought I wasn't going to put fuel on the fire, wouldn't you? I get this text. He says, Brother Cliff, you ain't going to believe this, man. He said, this is my second week in a row in church. And he said, man, it's just like you said, it's good. He said, man, I can't wait to come back next week for the third week, and then I'm going to make a slam dunk and come the fourth week and get baptized. And after he got baptized, the preacher then texted him. He said, you don't believe this guy, man. He is lit up. What are you trying to say? You know what happened? He figured out what his life really was.
Yeah.
He figured out what really mattered in this life. And he said, you know what? I better go the right way. I better go with God. And I better let God run the show. And I better not call the shots. I better just do it God's way all the way home. Amen. I'll never forget the night I got saved. I said, God, I'll go your way all the way home. Amen. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, that's me. I'll do it, Lord. Amen. So I got to thinking on that. Here it is in Luke verse 15. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Amen. You know, if you look right now at the things that you and I possess, we are actually pretty rich.
That's right.
And if you own a home, you're very rich. Really. I mean, you've got something of value. And even if you don't own a home, just look around and see what God's done with you yet, already, huh? I mean, there's Brother John. Man, family's in, family getting saved. I mean, God's doing things. And look at what God's doing. Look at what God's doing at the Black Creek Baptist Church, because one man said, you know what, I'm just going to follow God. I'm just going to go where God would let me go. Amen? And God let him go there. And God let him there. And there he is. And look what God's done. Amen. And you know what? What is it? What's your life? See? What's your life? What is going to happen with your life? I mean, if they played your life before, you know, on the giant screen before everybody tonight, what would it look like? You know? Now listen, I've been doing okay, but I wouldn't want mine on the giant screen. You know what I mean? Why? Because I got flesh too. But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a lot of folks going to be ashamed in the day of Christ. Why? Because they had one life to live, and they didn't live it for God. Amen. You know, I realized something as I was praying. You know, look, here I am. I'm looking around at the blessings of God. I'm looking at a house which I now own, and we're working on. I said, God, I don't need this. I don't. Lord, you gave it to me, but I don't need it. Not for what I do. I don't need it. I've lived all these years without one to call home, to call my own. I don't need it. I got it for one reason. I keep it for one reason. That woman sitting right there. Why is that? Because if I die, she's going to need something. Amen. She's going to need something of value. She's going to need something. Even if she wants to sell it and go live with the kids, I don't care. Amen. But she's going to need something. And it's my job to take care of her. So I did, amen. Why? You've got to take care of things in this life, but those things don't have to take care of you.
That's right.
Amen. They don't have to run you, see. And I said, Lord, I really, Lord, if you took all of it right now, I'd still have you. And Lord, that's all I want.
Yeah.
I just want you. All along my life, I look back. This fella got saved, and I'm showing him the video. All them years, all along my life, it seems just like that, where I've run into people and met people and watched people and witnessed the people. And I've watched God over the years take the seed of God, water it one by one with faithful servants of God, and the Spirit of God take that seed and plant it deep in their soul and bring forth fruit that remains. Amen. Jesus said this, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so here it is. You begin to realize at the end of this thing, what? It doesn't matter what you own.
That's right.
You know, the world's got these sayings, right? He that dies with much gold wins. Most gold wins. No. He that dies with most gold still goes to hell if he's lost.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly right. And yeah, that gold won't buy, you know what that gold won't buy? It won't buy you nothing in heaven.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And so, Jesus told him, he said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Amen. And at the point of this thing, what is your life? I got thinking, what is my life? And God began to give me, stories. God began to give me accounts from people that I influenced in the years gone by. Folks that I hadn't seen. I got a picture of a witch doctor boy, who got saved way back when I was there, and I didn't even know the guy got saved hardly. He never showed up. A man who tried to kill me, I found out later, with witch doctor potions. Amen. And I'm telling you what, man, and now I got a picture of him standing next to a preacher boy, or a preacher man, he's a pastor now, and he's smiling from ear to ear. And he said, tell Brother Cliff, I'm one of his early converts. Amen. I hope he's not God's convert, but you know how it is. You know what I'm saying? Take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, find verse 47. Deuteronomy 32, 47. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. What's your life? Verse 46. He said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command to your children to observe to do all the words of this law. So what was their life? Their life was a life. It's supposed to be a life of keeping the law and doing right. Again, you only get one chance to do it right. Amen. There's no redo. Can't back up and try again. Amen. And he said this, it's not a vain thing, because it is your life. And through this thing, ye shall prolong your days in the length. And some of us get to live a little bit longer. Why? Just because we did right. I know no man knows when you're going to die. But I'll tell you what, go ahead and live your own will, live your own way, and see how long you last. And if you do last to be an old man, you'll be a cranky old man. You'll be a hard to get along with old man. Amen. And then what? You shall prolong your days. What a blessing. You know, I could have made a lot of stupid mistakes in my life. And I made a few. But I'm here to tell you, the big ones were kept from me. Why? Because I wanted one thing from the moment I got saved. And I'm glad I got saved when I did, because I probably would have done a real stupid thing before too long and messed it all up forever. Who knows? The road I was on, man, I was a mess. But man, I did one thing right. I made Jesus Christ my Savior. And I made Him my Lord. And I said, Lord, I'll go your way. And I'll tell you what happened. From that point on, all I ever wanted was God. I had a fellow, you know, I got my doctorate this year. And a fellow say, well, you know, did you get that from a Baptist school? I said, well, where'd you think I get it from? And I said, yeah, I did. And he's got this impression that I learned what I learned in the Baptist school. I said, no, You got it all wrong. He went to a Baptist school, by the way, and came out messed up. Why? Because they took his Bible away from him. And stuck him with NIV and a New King Jimmy and all that stuff. Right? But here's what happened. I said, look, you know what? The difference between me and you is this right here. My pursuit was after God. Yours was after knowledge. My pursuit was not a piece of paper. I got the piece of paper finally to shut guys like you up. That's all that piece of paper does for me. I already had the knowledge. I went to schools, amen, that I knew and were teaching that book. Amen. And they taught that book the way the Holy Ghost taught me. Amen. Because when I got saved, the Holy Ghost moved in and he's been the teacher.
Amen.
I've just been the student. And after 42 years, I'm still the student. And he's still the teacher.
Amen.
And I'm still learning. And God still lets me see things. And amen, let me glean from other men. Why? Because he's the teacher. Uh-huh. See, what's my life? It's not mine. Amen. It's not mine, it's his. When Christ, who is our life, we mentioned that this morning, shall appear. Well, is he your life? Is he your life? What he told him here, he said, for it is not a vain thing for you because it is your life. So what was their life? Go back to verse 1, Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. What doctrine? He calls it his doctrine. You know, you've heard this so many times. I know, man, this crowd has. Sound doctrine. What is it? Amen. Listen, it's not putting all the jots and tittles in the right place and getting everything figured out and how many toes the Antichrist has on his left foot and all that stuff. Amen. No, it's living right. It's doing right. It's living holy. It's letting others see Jesus in you.
Amen.
Amen. My doctrine. Okay, so this life ought to be a life of doctrine. And by the way, it will be. It's going to teach somebody something. It's either going to teach them how not to do it or how to do it. Amen. I'd rather teach them how to do it. It's a whole lot more fun when you do it and do it right. Amen. And then what happened? Look at verse 3. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. This life ought to be published in the name of the Lord. Amen. Anybody ever walk up to you and say, excuse me, are you a Christian? Amen. And he says, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. How great is your God? I mean, you say he's your Father, he's your God. How great is he? What has he already done to show you his greatness? I mean, man, have you ever just sat and thought about it? Have you ever, I mean, has God ever showed you anything? You just get, wow, wow. I mean, look, wow. I mean, that's all you can say, wow. You ever been there?
Amen.
Amen. What a God, amen. Well, that's, what was that? That was their life. That was their life. Man, getting to see God do things. I sure am glad I got in on what I got in on. I get to see God work in people's lives all the time.
Right.
Amen. And then I get to hear testimony. And then my kids and my grandkids and now my great-grandkids. Man, I'm telling you, what a joy. What a joy. What is your life? See, what do you want your life to be? Listen, God's not against education. He's just against education without salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Because why? As Bob Jones Sr. said, that equals damnation. Amen. Keep God in the forefront. Do it God's way. Go to the school God wants you to. Get the degree God wants you to. Get the job God wants you to. Why? Because God wants to use you for your life to be a glorification of him.
That's right.
Amen. I'll publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness unto our God. Then verse 4. He is the rock. See? I like that. The rock. Ain't no other rock. Amen. He's the rock that's going to roll. Amen. And he's going to grind some things to powder.
Yes, right.
I mean, he's the rock that's going to judge this world in righteousness. Amen. That's him. And his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. I get them every time with this one. They start telling me about, you know, the King James Bible. And, you know, what the King James Bible. You're just worshiping the Bible. No, I'm worshiping the God of the Bible. It just happens to go along with him. But here's what it is. Okay? And I asked him, I said, is your God holy? And, you know, some of them, and then some go, yeah, okay. Okay, he's holy. Is your God righteous? Okay. Now, we're talking about the God of glory. We're not talking about Muhammad or, you know, any of the other ones. Now, is your God, so he's holy, he's righteous. Is your God a judge? I said, look, I can take you to verses and show you where he is. Okay? So, if he's all those things, and his word is forever settled in heaven, and it is, and he's going to judge us, where's the criteria for our judgment? And his word is also preserved. So it's settled in heaven, preserved, so it's not going to change up there. That means down here somewhere, there's got to be a copy of it that ain't going to change.
That's right.
Well, I like, you know, this one because I didn't ask you what you like.
Yeah.
If your God is holy, your God is just, your God is righteous, your God is going to judge people, and he's going to expect them to be prepared for that judgment, he wouldn't be a God to leave them without a copy of what he's got up there. And what they look at is going to say what that one up there said.
Well, they say, well, that one's written in
Hebrew. I don't care if it's written in Greek, man. I don't care if it's written in Swahili. There'll be one down here somewhere.
That's right.
That exactly matches that one. Why? Or he's not holy.
That's right.
And he's not just. And he's not righteous. And you're going to stand before some nut, and he's going to throw you into hell anyway. But my God won't do that. And my God gave me a copy of what he holds. Amen. So I can see what he expects of me.
Amen.
I told a Mormon one time. I was working this Catholic fellow, and this Catholic fellow drew me and this Mormon together to laugh, really. The Catholic fellow wound up getting saved. And he's saved today. I looked at this Mormon fellow, and he's trying to pull this guy into the Mormon church, you know. He saw him in the fringe, you know. So, well, this guy's not strong in anything, so I'll get him, right? And man, the Lord let me get him right to it, Brother Greg. I looked at him and I said, listen, let me just tell you something, fella. And when it comes to the end, you are not going to stand before Joseph Smith. You are going to stand before God Almighty. And God Almighty wrote a book. And he's going to judge you by that book. And you better know and better expect and know what to expect, what he's going to expect. Why? Because you're going to face judgment. His judgment. You ready for that? Man, I'm telling you, you want to watch somebody squirm and get him with that one. You better have a copy of what God said, because you're going to face it. You're going to need to know what he expects. And I said, if I was you, I'd find out what God expected of me, and I'd get busy at it. Amen? Hey, it's your life. You can do it any way you want to. Amen? Any way you want to. And then verse 5 says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and a crooked generation. So there he explains what the heathen have done to themselves with their life. Mm-hmm. Folks, go off and do it your own way. Help yourself. You know, but this ain't Burger King. You can't get it your way. It's God's way or you lose. Amen. And really, it's easy. And I started getting into it with these other people taking so long to get saved, you know, sometimes. And somebody said, well, you're making it hard to get saved. No. I like what John Mark said. He gave me his testimony. He said, yeah. He said, Cliff, it was easy once I just believed.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the simple way out, man. Just believe, right? Just believe what God said. That's all it takes.
Yep.
Problem is, some of us are pretty thick-headed. It just takes us longer. Amen. Took me 8 years. Amen. And so what happens? Man, I'll tell you, you get a hold of God, and what are you doing? You want to do it God's way. You ever once get the blessing of God, you don't want to let go of it. Ain't nothing like it. You get the touch of God, you don't want to leave it, man. I'm telling you, I was there in that bedroom this morning. God was in that place with me. I didn't want to get out of the room. I said, Lord, can I just stay right here? Can we just spend the day here? Amen. This is good. I like it, Lord. I'd rather be in your presence than anywhere. Why? Because this is good. And it's good for me. And then verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. He's reminding them of the testimony of their God. Go ahead and ask your fathers.
Yep.
Ask them how they came out of Egypt. Ask them how they crossed the Red Sea. Ask them how they saw the mighty hand of God. Just go ahead and ask them. And let them tell you what God did for them. Amen. And he will show thee when the Most High divide the nations their inheritance. Why is he doing this? Why did he keep all this testimony? Look at verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. You know, you are the Lord's portion. You belong to God. If you are saved in here tonight, you belong to God. And God wants you. And he don't want just your toenail. And he don't want just a few hairs on your head. And he don't want just your big, strong body. He wants all of you. Body, soul, and spirit. Amen. He wants to be able to take you, make you what he wants you to be, and use you for his glory. And the best part of it is you get the benefit. You get the blessing. You get, amen, to watch God work through you. That's what he's trying to do. You do realize that, right? That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to work through you.
That's right.
He's trying to use you in such a way that, I mean, you talk about knocking your socks off. It's unreal what God can do. Amen. What was that thing about? Was it Moody? The world has yet to see what God can do with one man fully surrendered.
Yeah. Well,
you know what our world has yet to see? Same thing.
Yeah.
And then, I put this before a church one time. I said, you know what God, what this world needs? One church fully surrendered to God.
Oh.
Man, could we turn the world upside down?
I mean, Jesus did it with 12.
What could we do? Amen. In this day, you know, when everybody else is saying, oh, well, it's the last day, you know, God's dead, it ain't happening, nobody doesn't get there. And they don't know my God.
That's right.
Last time I checked, man, he's still on the throne. Last time I checked, he's still in business. Amen. He's still working. Amen. Why'd he do it for you? Why has God done all these things? Why has God done all the things we've seen around here, around Black Creek, around here, and God moving, and God blessing, and God saving, and God baptizing, and God doing stuff in people's lives? Why has he done it? He did it for you! Why? Because he cares that much.
Amen.
He wants to be more than real to you. We tend to think real is something we can see, something we can touch. You know what's real? Stuff you can't see.
Amen.
That's where reality is. That's where we're going to find it was worth it all. Amen. Look at verse 10. He found him in a desert land. You remember where you were when God found you? Some of you, God found you in church. Man, he found me, I mean, after... you talk about a desert? I was in North Carolina, but it was dry. I mean, my family gone. My life in the Air Force just about gone. My life itself just about gone. Suicide was an option because I'd hurt myself. Amen? And this is where God found me. Miserable, undone, lost, without hope, without God, without family. Amen? Without anybody. But thanks be to God, God showed up. Amen. And in a waste, howling wilderness. You ever heard that wind howl to where it just, I mean, oh, just almost bone chilling howl so wild. Amen. He led him about. He instructed him. You see, what was that? They went through the wilderness, but guess who was there? God never left. Amen. And even in their rebellion, even in their, amen, disobedience, even in all their moaning and groaning and complaining, hey, listen, the moaning and groaning and complaining was their fault. Wasn't God's. God's trying to do a work, man. Amen. Listen, God had them set on a 22-day journey. Amen. But they blew it. It took them 40 years. Amen. So the Lord alone did lead him. And the next phrase, and there was no strange God with him. God ain't got no strange gods with him. You find a strange God, God ain't around.
That's right.
Amen. He don't bring the strange gods with him. When he steps in the room, you know it's him. And you know he's there. Amen. Some of them old men of God that I used to know way back in years gone by, You go in a room, go knock on the door. You wouldn't hear an answer real loud. So you knew, man, I better not knock again. I just cracked the door. So I cracked the door, and you look in, they're sitting there alone. You said, in other words, come on in. Be quiet. So why? And I hear him, as I come in, I'd look, and they'd nod, and I'd sit down, and he'd say, he's here. And man, you sit there for just a few minutes, and you could, man, sense the Lord start to deal in your heart. And you can see the Lord working in them. And man, God be working. Amen. God be working on the heart. Amen. No strange God with him. And you know what else? You know, my father's been gone now for about 10 years. If he walked up behind me right now and spoke, I'd know it was him. Mm-hmm. Why would I know? Because I know his voice. Man, you get close enough to God, you get to discern the voice. You know what happens? You look around, there's nobody with you. You know him.
Yeah.
You know who's talking to you. And you know what you're supposed to do. Amen. That's why, again, going back to James, what he say? To him that knoweth do good, doeth it not. To him it is sin. You only get one shot in this life. What's your life? And then look at this. Verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with fat kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Wow. You know what he does? He's reminding the man of the fruit of God. I mean, imagine going into Eshcol and picking up grapes, man, the size of a Volkswagen. You know what I mean? I mean, wow. That's, you'd know somebody did it besides you. Amen. You'd know that God had to get in that, because there ain't nothing like that nowhere else. Amen. And what happened? Two guys came back and said so. But the other 10 that got themselves in trouble. Why? What was their life? Made them ride in the high places. Look at verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Here comes the warning for when all is well. You know what's happened in America? We've had it good so long. Now the slides are getting kicked out.
Yeah.
We had it good so long. You know what happened? We got used to good.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get used to your surroundings. That's why, man, you get some of these kids, they pick up some of these kids, bring them to church to some of these places, and they think normal is mom and mom, or dad and dad. They think that's normal. Why? Because that's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some of this other stuff. I mean, it's just what they live in. Why? Because they've had no choice. They've had no chance. And we come and bring the light of the gospel, and God begins to work in their heart, and God begins to show them what reality is, and man, they want something. They want what we got. Why? Because it's a whole lot better. Amen. But you know what happens? If we're not careful, we'll get used to it.
Yep.
We'll get used to it. Get used to the blessings. And you read over and over again about neither were thankful. They're unthankful hearts. The sin of the greatest sin of the day, unthankfulness, right? Along with unbelief. But there it is. What happened? Get too used to the blessings of God. God been good to you?
Yes, sir.
That tells me you're living the right life. Something's going right. You're doing something right. You're headed in the right direction. Don't get used to it. Why? It could be gone in an instant. In an instant. Amen. What happened? What's your life? See, if your life is God, doesn't matter. Lord, if you took it all today, I'd still have to say thank you. I'd still have to praise your name. Amen. Here it is in verse 46 again. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words that I testify unto you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. He admonishes them. Again, do right. Just do right. Why? Because you only get one shot. Just do it right. My dad taught me as a lost man growing up, a job worth doing. You know what I'm going to say now?
Mm-hmm.
It's worth doing right.
Yep.
Amen? So what was their life? Number one, it was finding God. They found God. God found them, it says. And then following God. And then being fruitful for God. But the sad part of it, verse 4, they forgot God. Psalm 74 says. You see what's the blessing about it? They can finish right.
Yep.
And Israel's going to finish right. God's going to set the record straight. He's going to help them. Why? Because it's about them to Him. It ought to be about Him to us, but it's about us to Him. Amen. We're His heritage. We're who He's concerned about. We're the ones today that He wants to bless in this church age. Amen. But He's going to come back. He's going to fix Israel. Everything's going to be all right. That millennial reign is going to be some kind of thing. But just think about it. You only got one shot. Only one life will soon be passed. I know you've heard. Only what's done for Christ will last, right? But what's your life, see? I'm looking now. Here I am. I used to think folks was old. Now I look around and there's folks in the old folks' home younger than me. Amen. My mother's in the home. There's folks in there younger than me. One guy calls bingo. He can't be at 45. Amen. In old folks' home. I sure am glad I lived for Christ.
Amen.
I sure am glad that He was what I sought after. And beloved, there's nothing better to seek after than Christ. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You know, the day's coming soon when things are going to get tight. And we're still going to have to prove our God. How are we going to do that? Just keep doing right. Just keep doing His will. God will vindicate you in any age, any time, any hour, if you just do what He told you to do. Father, thank You for the privilege. I pray it's been a help, a blessing, and I thank You for it. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Two men came to mind.